My story starts years ago with my very first and longtime restaurant experience, which was in San Francisco, as Jessica mentioned. And I worked in a restaurant that was very well known for quite a famous in the industry woman. I also think it's important for my story for everyone to know that I'm the youngest of four children. And this has played a very big role in my life in general, but also in this particular story. So I'm working in San Francisco and having all my entire family was back east. And my sisters, I have two sisters and a brother, and in 6 years, they had a combined 8 children. So this whole life was going on here on the East Coast without me, and all these kids were growing up, and so I decided it was time to move back east, and I was happy about that decision. So I moved to Washington, and I was living in an apartment in Georgetown, and I had saved money before leaving San Francisco, so I didn't really have to work for a little while. I was just sort of, you know, blending back in with the family and getting to know the kids and spending a lot of time with them. And one day I got a phone call from this super nice, very excited woman, and she said, hi, my name is Judy, and your sister, Kara, tells me that you're a caterer. And I thought to myself, I am not a caterer, but okay. And she said, she tells me you're a caterer, you're a wonderful chef. And she's so excited. She says, my divorce is finalized. I just came into some inheritance. I've redecorated my entire house, and I'm ready to throw a Mardi Gras party. Are you available to cater it? Well, of course I was available to cater it, because I was not a caterer. So I said, you know, sort of probably paused for a minute and said, sure, I'm available to cater. So this starts my first catering job. She tells me that she's already written the menu. I mean, that she's already written the invitation. And on the invitation, it says, come for hurricanes, gumbo, and king cake. Okay, and that's an important detail. And so she sends these invitations out, and I start planning this party, you know, on my end. And I do not know, have any idea how much food I need for 60 people. I have none of the equipment needed. You guys have seen restaurants and caterers, and they have these big chafing dishes and 5-gallon buckets and rolling carts and all this stuff. I don't own any of that. So I find the restaurant supply store in D.C., and I go and buy some equipment. And I start sort of putting the menu together. And, of course, we have gumbo. We have fried oyster po' boys and all this stuff. And we put this great menu together, and I'm excited about it. So then I think to myself, okay, now I have to put the staff together, which as I just moved to the area, I know no one except my family. And so I call my friend Sarah, who still lives in San Francisco, who was waited tables at the restaurant I cooked at for years. And I said, would you come help me with this party? I'll fly you out, and you come, and it'll be fun. She jumps on board. She flies out. I also get in touch with the niece of a friend of my sister, Kara's, who is 17 and looking for extra money. So I hire her to come sort of later in the party and just to help in the kitchen and wash dishes. In hindsight, I'm already laughing at myself that for, you know, 60 people, I think three of us are just going to knock this one right out of the park. Right? So the party comes closer, and I'm feeling really confident about it. And I start cooking, and on, like, the Wednesday of the week, and I make this huge, you know, 5-gallon bucket of gumbo, and I'm shopping at all these different stores, and I'm making remoulade sauce, and I'm really excited. And I've gotten in contact with the equipment supply for the glasses and the plates and everything. And at this time, I remember them telling me specifically, they said, well, it's a $50 fee to deliver it. And I think to myself, well, I should save Judy some money. So I'll just bring the equipment there myself. So the day of the party comes, and we're in Washington, and we're packing up my little black Jetta. And so we have all of the glasses, the glassware, the plates, all of the food, we're piling it in. There's me, there's Sarah, and my golden retriever, Sadie, in the back seat. And we're driving up to Baltimore. We get to my sister's house to drop the dog off. And we're in great shape. Sarah, I specifically remember, she's like, oh, I'm so glad I have time to iron my shirt. She's at my sister's, she's ironing her shirt, there's no stress. We get to Judy's house, and Judy is as awesome as I thought she was going to be. She is unbelievably friendly. She is so excited for this party, she's like beside herself. She's having the best time planning it. She's telling me all these people who are coming, you know, which I have no idea who they are. She has this beautiful house and these, like, you know, beautiful, you know, bar that she's going to set up, and this is where the hurricanes are going to go, and look at this beautiful table. This is where all the stuff. So she's really excited, and we are psyched. So Sarah and I are excited to get going. And so we get the car unpacked. We've got all the, you know, plates and dishes and the food and the coolers and the buckets, and we're going. We're unpacking everything. And I'm in the kitchen, and I look, like, sort of through the beautiful hallway to the other side of the house. Sarah's setting up this bar with hurricane glasses and everything. And I think to myself, okay, I've got this, my little appetizer station. I've got that set up. I'm like, all right, I should get some of that gumbo heating up. And I look, and I'm like, oh, my God, the gumbo is in Washington. And immediately, my very first thought, and this was so uncharacteristic of me, but I remember it to this day, my very first thought was, well, I could just leave. I mean, I could just, I'm not a caterer. I'm not. And really, my thought was, I could just leave. And then I look, and there's my friend Sarah, who's flown from California, and I'm like, well, I can't leave Sarah. So I guess I have to stay. So I take a deep breath, and being the youngest of four, what's the first thing I do? I call my sister. And so I call my sister, Sally, who lives in Washington. And she lives in Washington with her, basically with her three triplets. She has twin four-year-olds and a three-year-old. And it's Saturday night at about 6:30, and I call her and I say, the gumbo is on the porch in the apartment in Georgetown. I need you to go get it. And she's like, I don't have a key. And I said, there's a key. I put a key in the drawer, you know, the kitchen drawer that has everything in it, keys and pencils and hairbrushes and hairbands. I mean, and she's like, okay, then what do you want me to do? I said, I don't know yet. I just need you to go, like, move towards the gumbo and go get the gumbo. So as her husband tells, and this is really one of my favorite parts of the story, which I didn't get to witness, and it's so funny, she walks in, to the kitchen. She takes the entire drawer out of the wall, walks over to her husband who has the three little kids, you know, crawling around, and says, I have to go get the gumbo, and just walks out the door. And he's like, but, you know, and all the kids are crying, and it's 6:30 on Saturday, and they have, you know, three four-year-olds at home. I mean, you've been there, I can tell. So she's, you know, bombing from Chevy Chase down to Georgetown on Saturday night, and she's in a tiz, I'm sure. At this point, I think to myself, oh, I have the 17-year-old coming. So as if on cue, the 17-year-old then walks in the door at Judy's house up in Baltimore. And I said, you know, nice to meet you. I've never laid eyes on this girl. And I said, are you allowed to drive on the highway? And she said, I guess so, which I took as a yes. And I wrote down my sister's cell phone number. And I said, when you get on I-95, call this number. So, and she leaves. She's game. She's like, all right, this is apparently catering. So, like, she's never done it before either, right? So she leaves, and I'm as calm as can be, because at this point, you know, what am I going to do? And we start with the appetizers, and, you know, my friend Sarah's like, just slow everything down. We're trying, you know, she's making those hurricanes extra strong, you know. And we're going, and I'm looking at my watch, and dinner, I discussed with Julie, at dinner, she wanted dinner on the table at about 8, she said 8 o'clock. And so 8 o'clock rolls around, and the gumbo's not back. About 8:05, the girl walks in with the bucket of gumbo. And I was like, oh my God, this really is happening. And I heat up this teeny little pot, and 8:15, the whole dinner was done, and the gumbo was on the table. And I have catered probably 30 or 40 parties for Judy since then. She's been a long time. I would call her my benefactor. And just about, it's funny because about 2 years ago, I stopped catering altogether. I sort of left the restaurant business. She called me about 6 months ago and said, you know, fed my ego, you know, that's all I need. Please, please, will you do this one party for me? She's gotten remarried. She wanted to celebrate here in Baltimore. Would I please come out of retirement to do a party for her? So, of course, I do. And about at the end of the party, I said, Judy, you and I need to sit down and have a glass of wine because I've got a great story to tell you. Thank you.